Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on a look at my voice.
We're back on a Tuesday. Welcome back.
That's what happens when you have 2 hours sleep. Team loses the stroke of midnight. Coming up on the show, the Mariners continue their quest for the first World Series appearance in franchise history. Just have an update for you, and it's not a good one on my end. We all know the ghost story at my home. Quick refresher. A couple years ago. Yeah. So everyone knows, well, not everyone. I'll refresh this real quick. So, in our condo, it is verified, numerous sources, a guy hung himself before he moved in, which goes to the idea that we believe, and I had an FBI agent who used to live next to us, Jane, and she's like, yeah, we sort of feel like there was a Russian spy who used to live in your place. The guy who was there, the duo, the husband, definitely hung himself. I'm like, okay, that's great. So a couple years ago, the fan in our bedroom where he hung himself would randomly start going, just starting out of nowhere. And it was kind of creepy. And it kept happening. And then I had a pen, which I lost, a vape pen, suddenly appear on just right in front of the sink in the bathroom. Like days this thing was lost, it just appears one morning. Some weird stuff, but mainly with the fan, right? So I finally said to the ghost back in the day, hey, sorry this happened to you. I know I sound crazy. I hear how crazy I sound. So I say, hey, sorry this happened to you. You're welcome to stay, but you got to cut this out with the fan. Like, you have to cut it out. It stopped. This is 2 years ago. Saturday morning, the lovely Catherine and I wake up, laying in bed, getting ready to get out of bed. And I go, hey, remember when we had that ghost here? And she goes, hey, ghost. And I'm like, oh, don't do this. She's like, hey, ghost. If you're here, start the fan. Start the fan. Nothing happens. However, Sunday night, this has not happened in 2 years. Sunday night, I crawl in bed. It's kind of chilly outside. I snuggle up, about to go to bed. All of a sudden, I feel this chill. I'm like, oh my God, fan is going crazy. Absolutely crazy. I'm like, has Catherine been in here? I look for the remote. The remote is in a box on like our chest of drawers. I'm like, well, you just hit the button to start the fan. Nobody touched this. I turn it off. I lay back down. Fan starts again. I'm like, okay, maybe this remote is messed up. Turn all the lights on. Check the fan one more time. I turn it off. Watch it stop. I'm like, okay, the fan has stopped. I have the remote in my hand. I'm going to bed. I put the remote next to me on the nightstand. I lay down, head on the pillow. Thing starts at full blast again. And I finally go, all right, I get it. You can still do it. That's awesome. But you got to cut this out again, please. Stopped. Just, and that's it. Hasn't happened since. So I don't know if I'm crazy, but I don't think it's a coincidence that the lovely Catherine said something, called it out, and immediately this problem starts up again. Really kind of freaked me out, I have to say.
It's crazy to me that all it took was like some discipline where you're like, hey, don't test me. So all you have to do is parent the ghosts. You know, maybe other people across the nation who are having ghost issues just need to learn how to discipline their ghosts. You got to keep it in check. You got to tell it's who's boss.
Yeah. I'm being kind. I'm like, this is your place before it was mine. You can hang around. It's cool. Knock yourself out, but you got to stop this fan. And sure enough, and I told the lovely Catherine last night, I said, hey, you got to just don't call out the ghost anymore. I can't believe I'm having this conversation with you, but do not do that again. Because by the third time, I was kind of getting weirded out. Like, okay, this is really, really weird. But everything is A-OK now. Wait and not call it out for another couple years. Instead, we focus on the more positive things. The real live people playing baseball in the ALCS. How about the Mariners taking care of the Blue Jays last night? 10-3. Mariners plus 115 on the money line. Total set at 7.5. It is the over that hits and the Seattle Bats with a power surge.
Shot to right center field. Varsho on the run. He's at the track. He's at the wall. It's gone! It's Polanco again! Jorge Polanco is owning October for the Mariners. He's given them a 6-3 lead.
Call courtesy of Fox, Polanco, and Julio Rodriguez, each with 3-run home runs. Josh Naylor adds a 2-run shot. Treya Savage, we were on the under. Brilliant last time out for the Yankees, or against the Yankees, but it gives up 5 earned in just 4 innings. The Blue Jays with just 6 hits on the night, and once again, Seattle will not be denied.
Absolutely. Seattle feels like they're absolutely peaking at the right time, especially in a night where it wasn't really a huge night from Cal Raleigh. So it's the other guys in the lineup, including Jorge Polanco, who has been huge for this Mariners team, and he's not one of their bigger names, or at least not to the casual fan. But it was everybody who was feasting in this one. Feels like just about everybody had a hit, and that's kind of the case when you score 10 runs. But this is really the potential that we expected from the Mariners, because this was one of the best offenses in baseball coming into the postseason, and now we're finally starting to see it, because they played in a bunch of close games. Now they're starting to widen that lead, and to do what they're doing with this pitching staff as well. Because remember, going back to the Tiger series, they had to go 15 innings and use a ton of arms. So that wasn't even that long ago. Was that a few days ago? So the fact that they have patched together all of these guys who will throw in a couple innings, because Logan Gilbert only went 3 innings in this game, it is damn impressive what the Mariners pitching staff is doing as well.
Yeah, it goes 3 innings, and then the Seattle bullpen comes in and gives up a single hit. So you talk about complete team effort. I don't want to use too much hyperbole here, but the Mariners kind of have that feeling like they're kind of a team of destiny a little bit. Am I leaning into some low-hanging fruit here? Like, oh, they're up 2-0. Now I'm going to tell you they're a team of destiny. But it feels like they've come out of nowhere. Cal Raleigh had a season that no one could have anticipated. They're kind of playing with house money because they've never played in a World Series, never won a World Series game, and here they are. They just keep finding ways, and now everyone is coming around to the idea, oh, Seattle has all the tools to win the whole thing.
Right, and now they have a 2-0 series lead with both wins coming on the road in a really hostile environment. I don't think that you're making things up. I think a lot of it has to do with Cal Raleigh and the season that he's had. And, you know, the fact that the Mariners have kind of been like the little brother to the Astros over the past few years, where it feels like they've been going toe-to-toe with the Astros at the end of the season, but then the Astros win, like, the final game. Or they beat them, you know, in the first round of the playoffs. So now it's the Mariners' turn, finally, where we're not seeing the Astros even in the postseason. And the Mariners are running with it. So what a season. It feels like it's been a pent-up thing for these fans who have been waiting and waiting and waiting. And obviously, I don't want to call a series before it's done, because this one goes 7, right? ALCS is always 7 games.
Sure does.
So it's certainly not over. You know, the Blue Jays will have a chance, but it is definitely very hard to win a couple games on the road and make this a series.
Yeah, pretty special when you look back. It's going back a long way, but imagine the Ken Griffey Jr. days where you think, I mean, they were so close and so many times, and you go through seeing a Hall of Fame player, one of the greatest players to ever suit up, and you don't get it done there, but here you are now with the big dumper, a completely different player, and this pitching staff, which can be really good as well. So things...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thus far looking great for the Mariners. And by the way, having a 2-0 series lead in a 7-game series means you go on to win about 87% of the time if you look at previous history in baseball. So things looking good thus far for Seattle. Game 3 set for Wednesday night in the Emerald City. Mariners currently a minus 135 favorite. How about this game last night where the Dodgers and the Brewers in Game 1 of the NLCS. Dodgers minus 150 on the money line. Total set at 7.5. The under hits. Last year's World Series MVP gets LA going early.
Freeman, a high fly ball to right. It is deep. Back on it, Cheerio, and Freddie Freeman sends one out of here. A rainmaker to right field, and the Dodgers strike first.
Call courtesy of TBS, that makes it 1-0 Dodgers. Meanwhile, Blake Snell, just unbelievable. Eight full innings against the Brewers, gives up a single hit, strikes out 10 batters. Caleb Durbin, the only base runner that Snell allows, and he picks off Durbin at first base after a single in the third. And then, Chelsea, I'm sure you saw this, an absolutely bizarre double play in the fourth inning, an 8-6-2 double play. Bases loaded. Sal Frelick makes a juggling catch off the wall, bounces off his glove against the wall, into his glove again. Not a catch. The Dodgers thought it was, so the runners tagged up. That allowed William Contreras to get the force out at home and third, and that was one of those plays where, you know, you just never see anything like that regular season or in postseason baseball. Kept the Dodgers off the board, but all they needed was two because of Blake Snell.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this might be one of Blake Snell's best performances of his career. The fact that he went eight innings in this game, and think about it. Like, if you know Blake Snell, you know he has great strikeout stuff, but he's not somebody who normally goes deep in games. And the fact that you have, like, a wobbly Dodgers bullpen that was not asked to do much in this game, that is a huge sigh of relief for the Dodgers, who got to save some arms in this game, and they got a win on the road. Because Blake Snell, even going back to the year that he won the Cy Young, like, some of the questions for him winning it were he didn't pitch enough innings, because he's normally somebody who's only 5-6 innings. So to go 8 in this game was a huge deal for Blake Snell in particular.
He becomes the first pitcher to face the minimum through 8 innings in a playoff game since Don Larsen's perfect game in the 1958 World Series. His .86 ERA over 3 outings, second best for a Dodgers left-hander since Sandy Koufax, who had a .38 ERA over 3 starts in the 1965 World Series. So he's not just having a great postseason, he's having an historic postseason, and this is exactly why the Dodgers brought him in for games like this where, okay, yeah, he's banged up early on in the season, but once he got right, and he really got right near the end of the season and during the playoffs, he's just been untouchable.
Right, and the fact that he did this with no walks,
yeah,
that's a big deal for Blake Snell, too, because normally he is somebody who kind of labors through strikeouts. I know it's still strikeouts, but like his line in this game, I think, was 2.5 walks. Like, I remember looking at all of his props, and he's normally somebody who will pitch around some batters, and that's fine. So to do 8 innings with no walks is always a big deal, but especially, again, for Blake Snell, it just feels like he's reaching another level.
When you saw that 8-6-2 double play, thankfully, if you're the Dodgers, you won 2-1. But had they lost 3-2, 4-2, that play, that double play, would have been critical to the final score. And I have to say, in real time, it would have been really difficult to know that that wasn't a catch in center field. If you're watching the way the ball went off Frelick's glove, then against the wall, back into his glove, it looked like he caught it. So the Dodgers, you know, tagged up, and then you realize, oh my God, he didn't catch it. That was, I don't want to say it was unfortunate. It's just such a bizarre play that you never see. It was hard to react right there in the moment.
Right. I think it's one of those plays that's very easy to like sit on your couch and like, oh, we should have done this. But no, yeah. In the moment, it's really difficult. And I think that one was one of those plays that could have gone either way. So sometimes mm-hmm. it's just tough, especially when runs are so important and base running is so important that obviously you want to get a jump. You can't get ahead of yourself, obviously. So like, I don't fault them there. But like, obviously, it didn't end up mattering in the end. And the Dodgers won the game anyway.
Game two tonight in Milwaukee. Dodgers a -125 favorite. I saw this tweet after this double play. I mean, this is so bizarre. And this is from Sicko's Committee on X. And it says, some grandpa with a scorecard is having the best night in a while. Just trying to figure out just exactly how this goes. I feel like you, this is just a guess, but I feel like you are someone who could keep score, you know, with a scorecard. No?
No.
Really?
I, like, hate writing things down. Like, I'm somebody who does everything on my phone. And I remember there would be girls who, when their husbands would pitch, they would do this. And they would track every single pitch that he threw, and they would keep a box score. And I'm like, those are the true heroes of this game, because I feel like it is definitely a lost art. Like, people definitely don't do this mm-hmm. as much anymore. I feel like it is a way to keep, you know, tabs on the game if you want to stay locked in. But I feel like you don't really need to do that in the postseason. Like, postseason, I'm pretty locked in. In a regular season game between the Rockies and the Marlins, maybe, but not in these games.
Man, I'm bummed. I used to be able to do this and did do this on a fairly regular basis when I was growing up because baseball just dominated our existence. I grew up in a small town in West Texas, so everybody was football-oriented. But until everyone could play football, it was baseball, baseball, baseball. And so, you know, all of my friends were into the sport. I collected baseball cards. I could keep score. My stepdad could keep score as well. And I kind of hate that I got away from it because that is, it really is a lost art. And it's not, I don't want to say it's hard to do, but it's definitely a learned skill.
Yeah. My dad never liked baseball. So, like, I didn't really grow up watching baseball that much, with the exception of, like, when there were big games. Like, I remember the ALCS between, like, the Yankees and the Red Sox, when Big Poppy and that crew, you know, had that magical run. But, like, mm-hmm. my dad didn't really like baseball. So, like, I like softball. So, like, I learned, like, keeping those type of numbers from softball but not baseball. I didn't really get into baseball till I had to watch over 1,000 innings pitched of the guy that I am currently married to. So, Jake played a lot. So, that's why I got into baseball more. But I liked softball a lot.
Okay, very. I mean, they're adjacent, obviously, so you know you're right there.
Yeah.
You're just scratching the surface, and Jake said, hey, I mean, you're right there. Just come on over to the baseball side and, you know, let's give this a whirl and see what happens. And it worked out. Coming up next on the show, D-Day and Double D have the takes. The question is, do we agree with them or not? It is the Tuesday of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. It is great to have you with us, so come on back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.